Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Wife in. How we doing, 410? McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Tuesday morning. I got you for one more hour on this five-hour midnight ride as we take you to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Got Fleegs on the other side. And we're taking your calls for another hour on any subject you'd like. We started with the breaking news. At the time, it was breaking news for the most part of Luke Weaver. As Luke Weaver, the closer, the excellent closer of the New York Yankees, the real stalwart of the bullpen, the last line of defense, the guy who's been as, for Yankee fans, I haven't been this comfortable with a closer since Mariano Rivera. I mean, Andrew Miller for a minute. But, like, this is as good as it's been. And right now, 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury as he felt it in warm-ups of the Sunday night game against the Dodgers. And now we are looking at going back to the disaster that was Devin Williams as the closer of the New York Yankees. And yes, it will be him. He's pitched well enough over his last 11 or so appearances. He's pitching to a 1.8 ERA over that time. He's given up runs in only 13 on two of his last 15 appearances. He has been much better. He was good against the Dodgers, and he is going to be thrusted right back into that closer role. And we're going to find out about Devin Williams. I think this injury is not about, it's a hamstring injury, right? So it's not about an arm. We're not worried about Weaver long term. It's going to be a 4 to 6 week injury, but we expect when that happens, and we could assume after the All-Star break, let's just say that's what it is. And it's unfortunate for him because I think Weaver was on his way to becoming an All-Star. But after that All-Star break, you expect Weaver to come back and be fine. But in that time, Devin Williams is going to have an opportunity to find himself again, and that in many ways, and especially the Yankees, fortunately, have the benefit of being in a terrible division, have the benefit of being 5.5 games up in said division, and ultimately, with all the playoff teams, they're going to be a playoff team, they're going to win this division, and right now, they have an opportunity to shore up a spot that could make them more dynamic come postseason time, which is Weaver and Williams. That's what you were expecting when they traded for Devin Williams. You expected him to be the closer, Weaver to be the eighth inning guy, and have a dynamic duo at the back end of the bullpen to go along with the dynamic duo at the top of the rotation, which should have been or was hoping to be Cole and Fried. Right now, Fried and Rodon don't sound so bad, but the back end of the bullpen, although it's been good with Weaver, the two of them are going to be so important when they start playing meaningful games in the postseason to be able to get the last, you know, 9 outs of a game between the two of them. And so right now, Williams, who started the season so terribly, who is so bad in every big spot, in every save situation, started with an 8 ERA after The beard was an issue. Obviously, his fastball command has been an issue. His the booze raining down at Yankee Stadium is going to have another opportunity to find himself here and prove that he's back on the right track and hopefully make the team better for it. Hopefully, it's a blessing in disguise and not a disaster for the next four and a half month and a half or so as Luke Weaver's on the IL. We finished up the Met game last night as they take the first of a four-game series out in L.A. against the Dodgers and a thrilling victory as it starts with Lindor hitting a solo home run, his sixth leadoff home run of the year, which is incredible. The franchise record is seven from Curtis Granderson. That's how good Lindor's been at the start of these games, really since taking over the leadoff spot back this time last year after the meeting and after the disaster that was falling behind 11 games under 500, only to have the best record in baseball since. And another incredible pitching performance from this pitching lab that continues to do it as Paul Blackburn steps up after having a myriad of injuries, whether it's his hand, whether it's spinal fluid in his back, or whatever the case may be, back on the mound for the first time since late August of last year, throws five shutout innings, gets Ohtani out three separate times, including striking him out twice, and sets the Mets up for a victory out in L.A. that they unfortunately do blow. It's the first blown save of the season for Diaz, who clearly looks the best he's looked since the 2020 remarkable, incredible season that he had. This is about as good as he's been since then, but this was his first blown save. Gives up a sacrifice fly to Ohtani, but the Mets rally in the 10th, drive in two runs, a double from Alvarez, who needed it desperately, but comes through with a double to start the 10th. Lindor follows through with an RBI single, and Buteau and the rest of the bullpen figure out a way to hold down the lead, win the game 4-3, and the New York Mets have now taken three of the first four against the Dodgers and the first of this four-game set out in L.A. The other story from that game is Vientos last night on a ground ball in that 10th inning comes up lame, kind of falls as he's running, and clearly has a hamstring injury. And we will find out if they have to put him on the IL, what they do at that roster spot, as every Met fan has been clamoring for Ronny Mauricio since his really dynamic debut a couple years ago. He's been battling injuries, a knee injury, and now he is back and killing it in the minor leagues, and we'll see if he is the next guy up as Vientos likely headed to the IL with a hamstring injury. And then, of course, the New York Knicks, as we still try to figure out how they ended up blowing this series and what they do moving forward. And obviously, there's a couple reports. Ian Begley was kind of cryptic about, and no one's been, you know, more on top of the Knicks right now than Ian. Does a great job for SNY. He's kind of been cryptic over yesterday about the messaging around Tibbs and whether or not you're going to hear quickly from this, you know, front office and from Leon Rose about Tibbs' future with the team. And obviously all these reports about what they could do for, you know, getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns and is Giannis available, and all of it seems nonsense to me. I think everyone is going to be back. Everyone should be back. I'm open to moving the players. I'm open to getting rid of Cat. I'm open to doing different things with this roster. But for me, I still think that this team, as presently constituted, with this head coach, can be better next year. Like, I hear a lot of, oh, well, they'll never be able to do this, and Tibbs isn't the kind of coach to do that. Tibbs is the kind of coach. Tibbs went to the bench. And you might say, as a couple of callers did, that it was out of necessity. Maybe he learns from necessity. Maybe this group is able to rebuild the bench, get a better bench moving forward, get more impactful pieces, and Tibbs can incorporate them throughout the year, because I think even he would recognize things need to change with how he handles the bench. There's no doubt. And we've seen Tom Coughlin adjust. We've seen a lot of coaches who we deemed, you know, stubborn and immovable and strong-headed find ways to be creative and find ways to adjust and adapt, whether it's to the new players, the new generation, or just what's working and what's not. Right? Tom Coughlin had to change his ways. Tom Coughlin had to have the players' circle of trust, whatever it was, and meet with Strahan once a week, and meet with Antonio Pierce, and meet with those guys to get a better feel for the group. And right now, to me, the major issue is the two star players playing together. You have to obviously revamp the bullpen, the bench, rather. You obviously want to improve the way Bridges played, but it is Brunson and it is Cat. And how those two guys can play together, because I think it's a pipe dream that you're getting Giannis. I don't see another move that you could bring in a better player than Karl Anthony Towns or figure out a way to restructure this team without Karl Anthony Towns. And to me, honestly, as disappointed as I am with Karl Anthony Towns, I think a lot of the blame falling strictly at his feet is a bit much. I'm disappointed in how he played, absolutely. He was terrible in Game 6. He was terrible at times throughout this series. We understand he's a liability defensively. That's not new. You knew that when you traded for him. He also won them Game 3. He also had one of the better plus-minuses in this entire series, and I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but I got a lot of problems with Josh Hart. I got a lot of problems with Mikal Bridges. I got a lot of problems with Jalen Brunson, who was terrible and sloppy with the ball in Game number 6, who did not have the impact on this series that I hoped he would. I got problems, as much as I'll defend the coach and say he should be back. Clearly he made mistakes in this series. Clearly. The idea that he didn't play the bench the entire year and have a little bit more, you know, a little bit more cohesion with going to the bench and having that as a legitimate option in times of desperation in this series is clearly an issue. There's a lot of issues with this team, and I feel like right now it's exclusively coming down on Karl Anthony Towns, a little bit of Tibbs, but really Karl Anthony Towns is the poster boy for the failures. And I understand he was supposed to be the poster boy for the changes that led them to a championship, and he certainly wasn't that. But I don't know if I could just look at him as the reason they did not win this series. A lot of issues. He wasn't the only one who didn't get back off of makes. Transition points off of makes. He wasn't the only one who's poor defensive in transition. He wasn't the only one who missed free throws. He wasn't the only one who disappeared at times. He wasn't the only one who couldn't find his offensive game. He was the only one who was capable of dominating. And we saw it. And so when we didn't see it, we got pissed off. I'm frustrated by it too. But the idea that we know that Tibbs and Brunson and Cat can't find a way to be better next year, that we know this team will continue to fail at the same things over and over again as long as this group doesn't change, I don't think we know that. I think Tibbs is the coach for this team. I think he deserves next year without question. I will be shocked and disappointed if he is not the coach next year. And I think Karl Anthony Towns and Bridges can find a way to make themselves a more dynamic duo offensively. We know their liabilities defensively. That's probably not changing. The team around them can be better defensively. You can find ways to incorporate a Mitch Robinson maybe, or incorporate, obviously, get better defensively from OG Anunoby and Bridges at times, or have a bench you can throw out there and be fresher at times. Like, there are other ways to make the team. They have to be a good defensive team. They can have some defense. You know, we understand Karl Anthony Towns and Brunson aren't going to be good defensive players. Doesn't mean they can't be a good defensive team, or at least a better defensive team. But we know what they are, and we know what they're not. And what they need to be is offensively sound and dynamic between the two of them. And that's what really, to me, was lacking. Yeah, they're not good defensively. Yes, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is big and a lumbering guy and doesn't get down the court well enough and certainly wasn't stepping up on threes good enough. Totally agree. And Brunson had his issues defensively as well, all that. But if they are a dynamic force offensively, if they're able to play the two-man game, if the pick and roll works with them, if they are unstoppable offensively, you live with it. And you get your defense from your wings. You get your defense from Mitchell Robinson. You get your defense from Bridges. You get your defense from OG. And you get your defense from a much more quality bench. They need to figure out a way to work together and be better together. And I don't think we know for a fact 1 year in they can't. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. Let's get to Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Mac? I've been listening for since you got on, and I gotta say one thing, man. Up in New York or down in New York, you guys are fortunate. You got 8 major league teams, and you know, I hear a lot of your callers coming in, and they're real tough on Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see all the games, but I'll tell you one thing, man. Those games were highly entertaining, And you got to give kudos to Siakam and the Pacers because they played at a high pace. And I think the last game, you know, I think, honestly, the Knicks ran out of gas. You could say what you want, but you look at a lot of guys, they were look like they bent over. And the other team, the Pacers, kept running at a high, high speed. And when it came time to make those, you know, major baskets, they were making them pretty much all the time. And that was the difference. And that's, you know, when they, I think it was in the third quarter where there was a big difference in points and they couldn't recover. But, you know, I enjoyed watching it, man. C-Mac, that was like, I'm not even a basketball
yeah.
guy.
No,
you don't think.
I know what you're saying, Tony. I get you. I know what you're saying. Thank you for the call. Enjoying watching it isn't enough, though. They got to win, and don't like we did a lot of it yesterday about the disappointment of the series and the inability to take advantage of an opportunity that we don't know. It was the first time in 25 years they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no guarantee they get back next year, no matter what they do. No matter what they do, no matter what changes they make, whether they change the head coach or not, whether they trade Carl Anthony Towns or not, we have no idea if they can get back to this spot. This might be the one time Jalen Brunson gets to an Eastern Conference Finals in a Knick uniform. I mean, hopefully it's not the case, but it could be. And they had an opportunity to win this series, and it was blown in game number one. It was. It was blown in game number one. And yeah, down the stretch, they turned the ball over too much. They turned the ball over too much. They were careless with the basketball in game six, the entire game. And they were lucky to be in it at the half. And then in the third quarter, they came out with just an awful, awful intensity, continued to turn the ball over, and got blown out in the third quarter into the fourth quarter. It was a disgusting performance in the second half. Terrible. I didn't enjoy watching it. I'll be totally honest. The game wasn't all that entertaining, Tony. I understand your point from a distance. Up from Montreal without a rooting interest, I appreciate what you're saying. They played a good, you know, they played a good series. They had, I found the Detroit series rather entertaining. I found the Celtics series incredibly entertaining. Oddly enough, though, this Pacers one, not so much. I wonder what the common denominator was. But it's not about entertaining basketball. It's about winning basketball. And I just think this is a group they put together for the long. We heard, you know, earlier in the season, James Dolan on podcasts, whatever, interviews, talking about it's a group that's going to be together for a while. That's the expectation. This is the first year. And I've mentioned this a lot. That trade, the Carl Anthony Towns trade, was made late in the offseason. They might not have been able to put together the roster they wanted. They traded some depth with that. They're a different team after they make that trade. And now they're going to have a full offseason to build around this core. And hopefully it gets better. And Tibbs has got to understand this. Changes need to be made in his coaching style. I don't think he's immovable. I don't think he's so dead set in his ways that he won't recognize that things need to change a little bit. And I'm sure Leon Rose is going to talk to him. And hopefully, like, I wouldn't even be opposed to bringing in a significant offensive-minded, you know, assistant coach to help along with him. He's going to have to, I don't know if he would consider that swallowing his pride or being have that forced upon him. That's something Tibbs is just going to have to deal with. Because they got to find a way to get Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to play better together offensively. They just have to. Because I don't know if I can trust the defensive nature of it. It is what it is. They made this move. They made the move to try and win a championship with these two stars, knowing their defensive deficiencies. They have to be better offensively. Together. So an offensive-minded coach or whatever the case may be, and don't get me wrong, I want to make this clear. I'm open to moving him. I'm open to anything. I'm not locked in. I'm not in love with. I'm not sold on. It doesn't have to be Carl Anthony Towns. I have no equity in Carl Anthony Towns. I thought he played fairly well this year. He was an all-star. He had his moments. He won them game three of this series. And I think it can. I think there is a way to make it work moving forward. But if they find a way to make the team better by moving him, I'm on board with anything outside of moving Brunson, which they clearly wouldn't do. Outside of that, if you can show me how it makes the Knicks better, I'm in. I just don't see a clear path to that. I don't see an easy way to have that. I think Carl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, and this team are coming back next year, and I think they can get better, and I think you can build around that core and make them better. I think you can give him a bench that he'd be more comfortable playing and express to him that he needs to. And I think those are all likely and, you know, or possible and even likely scenarios. I do. But they got to go, you know, they got to go out and do it as players. Now, again, next year, Tatum won't be there for Boston. I personally think the Cavaliers are frauds. They might have a great regular season, but I would not think the Knicks cannot beat them in the postseason. Obviously, the Pacers have now emerged back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, and now this year in the NBA Finals, and who knows, as unlikely as it seems, maybe NBA champions. So it's not going to be easy, but I think the Knicks are in a pretty decent spot. I think despite not playing together and despite being disjointed a lot this year, they beat the defending champs. Despite not being as good as we would have liked, despite having a bad first year from Mikal Bridges, despite all the things that they've struggled with, not the minutes, the non-bench, they were in the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in 25 years and beat the defending Boston Celtics champions, a team that nobody thought they could win. And that's my main point, too. Like, as I'm hearing and, you know, I'm reading, the idea that this group just doesn't work together. They can't. Tibbs can't. Cat can't. This one can't. We've told this team they couldn't do one thing. They can't beat the Boston Celtics. Can't do it. Cannot beat them. We have told this team one thing that they couldn't do, and then they did it. Then they did it. So I don't want to hear what they can't do next year, because we already told them something they can't do, and they proved us all wrong. I look forward to what we think they can't do next year. So we'll see. But that doesn't mean things don't have to change. Things have to change. They have to adapt. They have to roll with it. They have to figure out how to get better. But I think they can.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 4:35. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another few minutes or so as we take it till 5 a.m. The Warm-Up Show, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Omar, North Carolina, North Arlington, rather. I'm sorry. Omar, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's going on?
So we spoke yesterday about the possible Giannis trade, and it's not a pipe dream, as you say.
It is.
You know, I mean, anything's possible, especially nowadays. All these players are forcing their way out. And that's the situation right now, man. Giannis wants out of Milwaukee. You know, what's more attractive than playing in the Garden? You know? So if we can make it happen, why not?
All right, a couple.
It's possible. There's just more and more reports coming out about it, you know? So I just think you need to be a little bit more optimistic about the possibility. Because it's possible, man. We can make it happen.
Okay, a couple things. One, I don't know if we know for sure. I mean,
we don't
know for sure he even wants out necessarily. He's open to it. And so right now, you're taking that he's open to leaving to he wants out and he's going to force his way to the Knicks. He's going to tell them, I don't care about this franchise. I don't care what's best for you or the team at all. You are going to move me to the New York Knicks, and I don't care what you get back. Like, it's just, no, I'm just it saying just it's sounds possible. Like,
let's say he really does want out and he does force his way out. Why not come to the Garden?
Yeah,
we can make it happen.
I mean, we've only been saying that for the last 30 years. I know they're in a different spot than they've been in the last 30 years.
Yeah, we haven't been where we've been the last 30 years.
No,
we just made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, man. We're hot right now. This is a destination right now.
I understand that, but you have to break away the team that just went to the Eastern Conference Finals to make the trade. So I don't know.
Well, that's going to make us better, C-Mac.
I mean,
aren't you for that? If we can do it, why not?
Yeah, I guess, but I'm just saying, you make it like Giannis, it's just strictly to go play with Brunson. Like, that's it, because you're going to have to – it's not like he's going there and joining Cat and joining – like, it's him and Brunson. OG might have to go. I have no idea who's going to go. Right now, look, it is a pipe dream by definition. You want to – you're saying, oh, it's not a pipe dream. Anything is possible. That's literally what I'm saying. Anything is possible, but it's unlikely. I can't – we want to react as if we know – what am I going to tell you? If Giannis comes here, sure. Of course. If Milwaukee picks up the phone and calls Leon Rose and says, hey, look, let's make this work. You try and make it work. Of course. I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, we're making big jumps here and big assumptions. Why else not New York? Why not New York? I don't know. Is that the only place to go in? That's it. Why not New York? I granted, but why does it have to be? If Giannis wants out of Milwaukee, it makes his life a hell of a lot more complicated if he forces them to do one team. Like, I don't know. I just can't react to it. We can't plan on it. We can't talk about it. I don't think it's going to happen. If it happens, great. No one's opposed to it. Who wouldn't want Giannis on the team? I'm in. How do you get it done? Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Mr. Saturday Afternoon. What's happening, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
How long were you going to sit on? You know, 2.5 years you've been on the night, and you're sitting on that McDougal story, man. How long are you going to sit on that story
for? I think I've talked about the mispronouncing my name. Nah, I know I played the
Howie. That's the first time I ever heard of you, your name being called McDougal.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I only brought it up because it happened to be on Russo's Saturday show, so it made sense.
Yeah, but, you know, I had 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was 2007.
Right. But
it's not that funny on its own. It's great because it's a Saturday afternoon thing. That's what makes it a Saturday morning thing.
What you need is you need an opening song. You need a Saturday song. So you should pick your song this week and work on that.
Okay, sure. I tell you what. Send me an email. I'll put you on hold and let... I'll give you my email address, and you can send me all the songs you think might work.
Huh? Am I getting paid for that?
No.
Oh. I'll pass.
Okay, good.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm only kidding. Let's get on the Knicks a little bit here. What I see is a team that can win. And what I see is take the ball out of Brunson's hand and get somebody like how the Knicks have Pritchard or a John Stockton type to a guy who can direct the ball up and dish it out, and a guy who can hit a couple three-pointers. And you move Robinson to starter, and Towns, you know, they got to be a little more physical. I don't know, he's a loser, like Gio says. You know, Carl Banks and Gary Myers are, you know, talking about that. Did you see that tweet?
Eddie, I knew you wouldn't miss it for the world. You were all over that, Eddie. I knew for a fact Eddie was all over the Carl Banks situation with Gio. Yes, I saw it. And look, I think it's, you know, not to comment on it. It's just, I don't necessarily agree with Gio that he's a guaranteed loser of a player, but that's what he means. He's calling him a loser of a player. Not a, like to mention, you know, I've known him since he was a kid. No one's saying he's a loser of a person. He's a loser of a basketball player. It's an opinion. It's a sports opinion. It's what Gio gets paid to do. So people get upset about this stuff. I have no idea why. I have no idea why. But I knew you'd be all over it, Eddie. I knew it. Eddie lives for stuff like that. But I don't know if I agree. I think they can win with Carl Anthony Towns. I do. Starting Mitch at the five and moving him to the four is an interesting thought. And doing that regularly or starting, you know, I know they did it at times and it was very effective against the Celtics in particular. It's not the craziest of ideas. But I'm open to anything. I don't think you have to bring Cat back. I don't think you have to get rid of him. I do think you can win either way. Yeah, I mean, listen, would you like a point guard who's not so ball dominant? Try and play Brunson off the ball for a little bit. We'll see. Like, I remember, you know, yesterday I was really all over a guy who brought up playing Kolick. And it's not that. I just think that it's silly to blame, like, oh, Tibbs has no idea what he's doing. Why doesn't he play Kolick? Like, come on. If your argument is he should have been playing him all year, he should have been playing the bench more all year to get a feel for these guys, let these guys develop, build some chemistry, find out what they can do, see if it helps, try and change, see different things that can build towards being more comfortable in the moment to bring him in, that's fine. But just like having not played Kolligan forever, just throwing him out there in game six of the Eastern Conference Finals because you expect that to suddenly change things, like that's where I have a problem with it. But yeah, you know, they could use someone like that. They could use a point guard who brings up the ball, makes life a little bit easier for Brunson, doesn't have to be so ball dominant, move things around, pass the ball a little bit, play a traditional point guard. Sure. I think that there's and then of course you need as many threes and as many D guys as possible. It's today's NBA. You want as many guys who can shoot and as many guys who can defend shooters. They could always use more of that. To me, the first and foremost, I need Carl Anthony Towns, as long as he's still here, Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to play better together. That's the first order of business. How do I make these two guys on the floor more effective playing off each other and having a duo as opposed to, you know, Carl Anthony Towns sitting around watching Jalen Brunson play? And that's what it felt like a lot of the times in the postseason, especially in the Detroit series. It actually got a little bit better, but early on it was very much just, and then by the end it was Carl Anthony Towns went off when Brunson wasn't on the floor. Like, they've got to figure out a way where both of them can get their games, both of them can be dynamic. Teams have to worry about that two-man game, the pick and roll, whatever. They got to figure out a way to make both of them together a force offensively. Because they're not going to be much better defensively, the two of them. You got to figure out a way to have them work together on the floor. Their games have to complement each other a lot better than they did this year. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, I turned the radio on. The first thing I heard was you saying that you were a fat bastard.
Yes.
Please don't do that. Please.
Why?
That's stealing material from the listener. And Chris, if Giannis is a Nick next season, I won't call for a month. Frame it. If Giannis is in Nick next season, I won't call for a month. And that's that.
I'm confused. What do you, but like, okay, you won't call for a month in what? In anger and protest?
Why? He won't be a Nick, so I'm tired. Yeah. I just don't want to not call forever.
Well, how would you,
but you would
be open to
a
it.
A month is good.
You would like it if he does, right, though?
No, but the point is, he's not going to be a Nick. I'm giving you something that I'm that positive. I'm just going to say I'm not going to call forever.
I got you.
Not going to be like Evan and do something stupid and, you know, bet on something. But anyway, I'm fighting with everyone on my 11 online social media groups. And
as
now
usual.
Gio, it's the same argument. Like, I've heard Gio for years, and that's so close, classless take. I'm sorry. But, like, you're blaming Towns. How about the first thing we do is see if the Pacers win the NBA Finals? Maybe it was their year, right? Imagine they win 4-1 or they win. I guarantee everybody's takes change immediately. Like, we just lost to the Pacers. It was their year this year. It was the Celtics' year last year. You can argue, Chris, you tell me. I feel like you're on the same page. Towns was arguably the best player throughout the entire playoffs on the Knicks. If not, he's number two, but I think you could argue. OG was terrible, yes?
Yeah,
terrible.
I have
hard,
yeah.
Hard.
Terrible.
Brunson, weird. I don't know. He was turning the ball over a lot. Like, yes, he got you 40, but look at the stats. When he got you 40, we lost. He was better getting 22. So why are guys like Gio and everybody else attacking Towns? I've become a defender. I know he can't play defense. I got it. But every guy on the team has a deficiency. Brunson's probably the worst defender, you could argue. So let me ask you a question. Why are we attacking Towns?
I talked about it, Brett. And thank you for the call. I don't disagree with you on some. Listen, he deserves blame. You're making him blameless. I think the blame should be spread around a lot more because I agree with you. A lot of guys didn't play well. A lot of guys. But he was the guy brought here to make the difference. He's the star making $50 million. He's the guy who was supposed to take them from last year's team to a team that can get to the NBA Finals. And he was awful. I mean, you can't hide from that fact. He was awful. The best player overall throughout the postseason? I don't know. I don't think he was anywhere near one of the better players in the Detroit series. I don't. Boston, he had his moments, and certainly in this series, I think as crazy as that sounds, I don't think it's that far off. You look at his plus-minus numbers, you look at the idea that he won them game three. Yeah, I think it's fair to say he was one of, if not the best Nick in this series. He certainly dominated the game more than anybody else. But it comes and goes. And he is, in my mind, I don't know if you want to say Brunson's a worse defender or not. His lack of defense hurt the team more than Brunson's lack of defense. His inability to come out and guard the three-point line off switches and the drop-back method that he was playing was killing them. Brunson's defense isn't good. It didn't kill them the way Karl Anthony Towns' defense killed them. And he does, you know, he disappeared at times in the Detroit series. And, like, he has plenty of blame here. He shoulders a lot of the blame, and he's one of the stars. He's one of the two best players, and we're not going to give Brunson the same amount of blame. So I understand it. I just think it could be more spread. Not that he's void of being blamed or he was the best player in the series. How are we blaming him? No. He deserves a hell of a lot of blame. I just don't know if he deserves all of it. And it feels like, I don't disagree with you, that it feels like a lot of it, if not all of it. It's like 80% him and 20% Tibbs, and everybody else is kind of getting a free pass. And I understand it's because he's the star player, but I don't disagree with you, Brett. And the fat bastard line might be your best one yet. I do say it in the mold of that's what a caller would say, but you're right, I'm taking material away from the caller.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, just a few minutes left. Let's get right to the calls as we try and go through them here in the final few minutes before 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on this Tuesday morning. Be back with you after Keith tomorrow night, 2 a.m., or tomorrow morning, rather, at 2 a.m. after the Yankee game, as we'll be with you the rest of the week that way, 888-808-1019. Let's get to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Great win by the Mets, Chris.
Great win by the Mets. Great job by the Mets pitching lab. Is Blackburn doesn't miss a beat. Comes in and throws five shutout innings. Unbelievable.
And I'm willing to join. Everybody was giving Juan Soto a beating. He's really terrible. And Lindor is extremely hot. That's all. Good win by the Mets.
Yeah, good win by the Mets. There's no doubt. Lindor, again, with another leadoff home run. His sixth of the season. The franchise record is 7 from Curtis Granderson. So he's already got 6. And leadoff home run, I mean, since they moved him to the leadoff spot, it's just been an absolute game changer. And, you know, those leadoff home runs, they just get used to the, like, the other one, the last one he had was the first game of the Colorado Rockies series. Like, I hate those series. It's not pressure necessarily, but it's the feeling like, man, we got to win all three, otherwise it's a disaster. And as a fan, I can tell you I hate them. I cannot stand when the Yankees play the White Sox or they play the Colorado Rockies. It sucks because you have to win. It's baseball. It doesn't work that way. I know they're now 10-50, which is unbelievable. But as bad as they are, anything can happen in a baseball game. And the Yankees lost one game to the Rockies, and it was just like the end of the world. The pressure is just—it's just so stupid. I hate it. I hate playing those series. There's no win. It sucks. And so as a fan, I hate it. But there's something about that opening home run where it's just like, all right, we'll be fine today. And going up against the Dodgers, right, off that series, out to L.A., taking on the Dodgers. You got Paul Blackburn on the mound. Who knows what you're going to get from him? And boom, right away he gives you that one-run cushion. And maybe that mentally helped Paul Blackburn. But he was great in the game. The bullpen came through. Soto with a double. Hit the ball 100 miles an hour in his first at-bat for a double play. But obviously coming around. Back-to-back home runs the 2 days before kind of opened up. In the Colorado series, got a double in this game, starting to come around, starting to look like himself a little bit, which we all knew eventually was going to happen. But hopefully he's starting to turn around. Lindor is hot again, yes. The offense really doesn't do all that much as they score 4 runs in extra innings. 4 runs total in a 10-inning game. And Diaz blows the save, but still wasn't all that bad. But the bullpen has been really good. Hopefully Buteau can kind of, you know, have this be a good outing for him as he comes in a tight situation. Couple runners on with only one out in the 10th, comes through, gets a fly ball and a ground ball right back to him to save the game. So, look, solid win for the Mets, who have now already won 3 of 4 against the Dodgers this year and have an opportunity with one more win in the next 3 to guarantee a season win over the Dodgers. And, I mean, if they ever take 2 out of the next 3, that'd be a real nice statement for this team that's battling for first place with a Philadelphia team that's, you know, been one of the hotter ones in baseball up until the last couple where they struggled against Milwaukee and got kind of beat up. But they are now a game and a half up in the division, fighting with one of the other best teams in baseball in a really tough division with, you know, you assume Atlanta eventually to make a run, but they might be looking to trade at this point. We'll see where they are. But good win. Good, solid win. There's no doubt. And for me, it is hard not to talk about this Met pitching staff. When I think of the Mets right now, and mainly because I was critical of it, and especially now that, you know, we see Burns out in Arizona, looks like he blew out his elbow, and who knows how long he's going to be gone, or if it's Tommy John, or whatever the case may be. Like, what they're doing right now without paying top premium pitching. I know they gave, you know, Manaea some money, but without giving those big mega deals to the big-time free agents, you know, the Max Fried contract, or the Burns contract, or the Gerrit Cole contract, avoiding those type of signings. And finding guys, and, you know, scrap heap is probably too strong a word, but Griffin Canning not far from the scrap heap, and, you know, transitioning relievers like Clay Holmes into really excellent starters, and Paul Blackburn finding himself. You know, Paul Blackburn went through a million things. He went through a hand injury, went through a back injury. You know, he had spinal fluid leaking. He had all kinds of serious health issues. He comes back, boom, against the Dodgers, strikes out Ohtani twice. And throws 5 shutout innings, and now he's headed back to the bullpen because they have too many good options. Like, what the Mets are doing right now with their starting pitching is remarkable. There's no other way to put it. I don't know, like, the I've mentioned this a couple times, the Astros, when they kind of had things going for them, and they were resurrecting Verlander's career and resurrecting Charlie Martin's career and doing what they were doing with their starting pitching. You know, changing Gerrit Cole from a promising but, you know, up-and-down starter in Pittsburgh to becoming one of the best pitchers in baseball. They really were transforming their starters. The Mets are doing it at another level. They're taking high-end talent that was either washed up or not quite as good and making it great. The Mets are taking so-so average pitchers and turning them into real solid guys. It's crazy what's going on right now. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Fleegs. Always fun, these five-hour rides. It'll be the last of the week. I'll catch you again tomorrow, 2 a.m., after Keith, after the Yankees. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We will see you tomorrow. I'm out of here. Warm-up show is next. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.